to Cinemarathon, the Movie Marathons podcast, where we watch a series of movies all in one day and then discuss them afterwards. My name is John, and this is part 2 of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Marathon. If you missed part 1, be sure to go back and check that out before you listen to this one. But if you're all caught up, then join myself, Matthew, and Josh as we continue our discussion of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies.
Well, that will, of course, bring us to the next movie. Many years pass, but then, of course, they remade the Texas Chainsaw. So the remake is just called the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Before we get into it, actually, I'd just like to know, we kind of spoke briefly on it, but you had not seen this movie.
Yes.
And kind of refused to watch it.
Out of principle.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was sort of like a big deal for me, to be honest.
The Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, it was really in the same wheelhouse as... Because when we did the Dawn of the Dead marathon, I had refused to see the remake. And this one as well. And honestly, my reasons for that have zero to do with any of the quality of any of these movies. And some of them are actually pretty okay. Like, I actually ended up kind of liking the Dawn of the Dead remake. And there's parts of the Texas Chainsaw remake that I think are okay. But really my issue is way more on this sort of moral stance of I just don't like the... Like, you guys who've seen the original and enjoy the remakes, I'm fine with that. It's more the thousands and thousands of people that loved the remake and just had never seen and never gone to, had no understanding of the original movie.
Case in point, there were people sitting behind us last night when we were watching the newest one in theaters who I'm pretty sure had never seen
the original
and didn't know what was
happening. Yeah, we're just confused. Yeah. Yeah. And that makes me really sad.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's if you're going to watch Texas Chainsaw Movie and you've never seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you need to watch the original.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah.
And so I just sort of had an axe to grind with it of just that's bullshit. And that it's really sort of died out now, although, there is that Evil Dead movie coming out. But at the time Texas Chainsaw was coming out, there was a whole slew of let's remake all these horror movies.
Platinum Dunes.
Yeah,
right?
Platinum Dunes who made this.
Company.
This was the company that started it.
So I really had a whole lot against it just from the time it was coming out and the way things were going. So that being said, this was my first time seeing the movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say I really enjoyed it that much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually pretty neutral on it. I didn't outright hate it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's aspects of it I hated. But not the whole thing. I think it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more it just feels kind of pointless to me. It's why do this when the other one's so much better?
Yeah, I agree on some level. For me, the whole thing about people I know will see this and never have seen the original, I guess as of late, because remakes do piss me off too. So I out and out boycotted the Karate Kid remake just because, I don't know. Like, I know of all the stupid remakes I've watched, it's weird to boycott that one.
No, I'm with you, dude. Karate Kid is a fucking classic.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the worst one.
Just don't touch it. There's just no reason.
And by the way, way better than you ever even thought it was. That's when you go back and watch
it.
Karate Kid is amazing.
Yeah, it's fucking phenomenal. Yeah. But my thing is, for children, for movies that are more directed towards kids, I guess I have that's what bugged me most about Karate Kid being remade, was that, children are, if you're growing up in a new generation, and this comes out in theaters, the parents are going to take their kids to go see that movie.
Sure.
The type of person that's going to see Texas Chainsaw Massacre is an adult, in theory, or a teenager who has access to all the different movies. And if they like horror movies, could go see it if they were intelligent enough to go see this, seek it out. So it's for me, the fact that they've chosen just to go see this one and not see the original means that they weren't ever going to see the original anyway. They're the type of person that's just going to go see what's in the theaters. I don't know. That's sort of how I've rationalized it.
I mean, there's a certain degree of film snootiness at play here that I also subscribe to.
Yeah,
so I'm not
I
just want to chime in and say I completely understand what you're saying. It's frustrating. Yeah. It's kind of the same thing of you're mad at people for being ignorant of something that's amazing.
Yeah, sure. It's frustrating, for sure.
A friend of mine, when I was in college, had a similar experience where when the Spider-Man movie came out, they started selling, he worked at a warehouse or something, and they started selling comic books in his store, And so some kids came in one day and were like, oh, cool, they made a comic book out of it. And he was like, God. Like, just wanted to just freak out, like, and just scream at the kids. It, like, that stuff is infuriating. Like, you don't know?
What, which I know. I mean, but see, there's no battling that kind of stupidity. Like, the fact that, like, just because, you know what I mean? Like, there's no way to protect the world against people who are that ignorant. Like, the remake of, like, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is not perpetuating those people who will never see the original because they just don't care enough to care. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I know what you're saying, John, because it bugged me for a long time, too. I'm getting to the point where I'm realizing, like, that there's just no combating it. And the fact that they remade this movie and some people liked it, you know, there might be people who see this movie and then because of it, go seek out the original.
Sure.
Like, so I don't know. It's a weird balance to strike. And I totally know where you're coming from, though. That being said, I do, there are things about this movie I do enjoy. And it might be one of those instances where my expectations were so low that I was pleasantly surprised. But upon rewatching it in the marathon, all the things I really appreciate about this movie still held strong for me. There are some really dumb moments. Like, I really can't describe to you how much I hate the opening scene where the girl shoots herself and then the camera goes through CG through her brain hole and comes out the back of the car. Like,
and like, she pulls the gun out of her vagina.
Yeah, the gun's like, hidden in her vagina.
It's not shock value that's well done. It's just like, isn't that weird? Yeah. Like,
that was the one big thing that I actually had essentially been spoiled for me. Like, someone told me about that change. So I was pretty ready for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is kind of stupid.
Yeah, it's just dumb. And it's like extreme for extreme's sake. It doesn't do anything to story, like give good storytelling. But so that annoyed me right off the bat when I first saw this. But that being said, after that scene happens, for the most part, I'm really impressed with this movie as a horror movie in general because, like I said in the first movie, it does what a good horror movie does when it really can feel like put you in that circumstance, which is what would you do if you were in that position? And all of the characters in this movie, to me, react very realistically to the circumstances that they're in and react in a way I think that is intelligent to the circumstance right. that they're in. Like, there's never a case where I'm like, why did you just do that? You're gonna die, like, because you're an idiot.
Well, there's a big shift from... Because in the first movie, you get a sense of like, those people are kind of jerkish mm-hmm. and they are sort of getting into trouble that they probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like I'm not saying they deserve to get killed or anything, but there is a bit of like, well, why'd you go poke around in there anyway?
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking? And this one is definitely, the one aspect of the woman killing herself is mm-hmm. they are in a situation where they're like, oh man, we have to deal with this.
Yes.
Yeah. And everything that progresses from that just kind of makes sense. And especially when you throw in, honestly, which to me is probably my favorite change in the story and what I find the most interesting about this remake when you add in the character of this crazy sheriff.
Yes.
Played by Arlie Army.
Yeah. That it really motivates and gives a reason for like, why are they following this guy? Why are they getting into this mess?
Yeah.
And I just sort of liked him. Like, it made an interesting addition. That to me I appreciated the most was just the fact that the whole family was like, aside from Leatherface, totally different.
Yeah.
It made it interesting to, you know, oh, there's a creepy guy with no legs, and mm-hmm. oh, there's these creepy old fat ladies, you know, in a sewing circle. And
yeah, yeah.
It just made it a little more unique and interesting, just because you get to see a whole new kind of take on it.
Yeah.
It's weird, because this movie is a reboot, but it just as easily could have been a sequel by all the other sequels
sure.
laws, yeah. because they only change as much as all the other things that were supposed to be sequels changed.
For me, that's what, I guess it comes down to ideology, which is because this has been labeled as a remake, there's nothing in this movie that offends me any more than, let's say, the third movie does, which is essentially a reboot, but not called a reboot.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just what it's been labeled. Like, there's more offensive things to me in prior movies than what I think this movie does better. So it's like, it's a hard thing for my head around, because in theory, I do hate the idea that this is a remake of the original. But it's really no more a remake than some of the previous movies.
Well, it's almost kind of really the same difference as the final Destination and then Final Destination. Like, you know,
well,
using the same name and doing different movies.
I don't think it is, because Final Destination and The Final Destination are still, continuity-wise, it's happening after it.
I'm sorry, yeah. I meant more just in titling the series.
Sure.
Like, it could have been the same thing as if they had just had to be a sequel, and instead of calling it The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they just call it Texas Chainsaw Massacre to try and get new people to come in.
It says a lot that, I mean, you take that movie and you just call it Texas Chainsaw Massacre, A Deadly Summer, and you tell me that it takes place after the original movie and I go see it, I will be so much more open to enjoying it. But it just comes with so much baggage to be like, it is a remake and all of that is gone. And you're just like, it just bugs me.
It is very annoying. And because like you were saying, which is like there's this generation of people that will never see the original, which is what's confusing to me about the way they market it, which is if you're trying to just get a new audience, then why base it upon something that no one has any knowledge of? You know what I mean? It's weird. It's like a weird marketing technique is like, oh, this is the new generation's Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But who it's really marketed toward, they don't really know anything about the original. So there's no money draw there. You know, it's, for me and you who care about the original, it's kind of like oh, God, why would they do that?
Well, I think there's to play devil's advocate to your point here, there is a knowledge of a movie called Texas Chainsaw Massacre that is a horror classic.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's just
that would work to some degree.
Yeah. I don't, it's just a strange marketing gimmick for me.
Well, in the same way that it turns you and me off, there are a lot of people out there that go, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is my favorite movie. I have to see the remake of the movie, and I can't wait to see it. Like, there are those people.
Yeah, that is true.
That you just get an instant audience of fans that you can also like pull in new people with.
Definitely.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe we're the outliers. I have no idea. I know I find remakes like horribly offensive. Maybe I'm just kind of outside the circle on that one.
We definitely live in a skewed area and like run in a weird circle for that kind of stuff. Like, we're all kind of anti those kind of things.
Yeah.
We're very much in the industry purists and care about this stuff more than middle America would. Like, the average person going to go see a horror movie on a Friday night don't look at it in the way we analyze movies.
Which I just want to like say, it shouldn't sound condescending.
No, I mean,
it's just we have different takes on it.
It's entertainment. Like, I can't say that someone in Oklahoma or even just any in California wouldn't like, if they like Texas Chainsaw Remake, fine. Like,
we're better people.
we're better.
No, they're wrong. Then that's it. No, I'm kidding.
But it, like you said, it is perturbing to know that there will be people out there who see this movie and will never acknowledge the original.
Right. But we could go on and on about, you know, remakes and stuff. Sure. But we'll put that to bed for now. I think everyone sort of knows where we are. Yeah, sure. Yeah. And as we get into the movie, one of the things that sort of irked me at the top was they decided to keep it set in the 70s.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I'd actually just prefer, they wouldn't have a hard time just sort of making a modern day. Yeah. I don't see why they didn't.
But you got to get the Lynyrd Skynyrd in there, bro.
Yeah, that was a bad way to set it up.
That song still exists. Like, good music. But there's weird, like, anachronistic stuff that just sort of irks me. Like, if you're going to make that decision of, like, set it in the 70s, like, there's literally dialogue at the top of the movie where the guy, they're making out, and the guy's like, don't you know that you could pass, like, STDs around like that? STDs are spread in 97%. And I'm just sitting there like, whoever wrote this movie is a fucking idiot. Because STDs didn't exist like back then, really at all.
No, they did.
Dude, it's like hippie summer love time.
I remember like in the Vietnam era, there was a lot of talk about like getting the clap and stuff. Like that was a thing.
Definitely. No, I think what you're saying is, which I think is true, that the STD culture then it existed and people were getting it and it was bad. But what happened is that back then people didn't talk about it the way that we talk about it now.
Yeah, which, not like that.
Like the way like the guy's scene, describing it, like giving off statistics and shit, like no one spoke about it that way back then.
Yeah, there was no like effort to try and prevent it. It was just something that like if it happened, you tried to deal with it.
Yeah.
So I'm obviously a minor flaw, but it's just one of those things like it just started me off on the wrong foot. Like,
this? Because like, this, like you said, it's set, takes place in 1974, but it if you didn't know that, it really could have been 2003.
Totally.
All the characters pretty much act modern. But like I was saying before, what I do really like about the movie, which you already went into a little bit, is that the circumstance that leads them into the horror, like, is much more justified than in the original movie. Like, they're all driving, in the original movie, they're driving in a van. A clearly psychotic weirdo shows up to hitchhike. They accept him because that's the culture of the time, which is how we've rationalized it. And then shit hits the fan very quickly. Well, in this movie, you're driving in a van with your friends. A girl who's walking down the street, clearly injured.
Right.
Clearly,
she's in trouble.
She's in trouble. Totally justified why you would pull over the van and say, hey, do you need help? Are you okay? They put her in the van. Immediately, they discover something's not right. Before they can even react to it, the girl kills herself. And now all of a sudden you're in a position of responsibility. How, you know, it's like, do we drop the body off? That sounds illegal. That's clearly not the right thing to do. Do we go find someone and help us? And when they make that decision, which I personally believe is the moral right decision,
sure,
that fucks them over. And I think that's a great setup for a movie, which is,
yeah,
like, this is a circumstance where you're trying to be as good a person as you can be, and you're getting punished for it. And that's scary.
And there was an aspect of the her killing herself that I actually did enjoy, which was that the gun she used, when the cop finally shows up, or the sheriff, in quotes, shows up, he does this thing where he takes the gun and he just sort of holsters it.
Yeah.
And the movie draws a little bit of attention to it, but it doesn't beat you over the head with it. And it's a cool little wrinkle where you're like, oh, that's like his gun. They're clearly, you know, he has maybe a little more to do with this girl than it seems.
Yeah.
And it's a nice sort of foreshadowing to the madness.
Yeah.
Like, I just sort of appreciated that as like a little hint that's dropped.
Yeah. And I think that what I also liked about the dynamic of the characters they chose to put in this, other than you said, like, the STD conversation, like, didn't really fit, but that they had a good balance of, I think, the types of personalities that would react to this situation, which is there's some that were saying, we need to do the right thing here. And then there's some people that are saying, I think we need to get the fuck out.
Yeah. Which is good. That would happen. Yeah. Like, that's totally realistic.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's, the I think, the natural internal reaction of anybody in that situation. But they had a good balance of characters in that group.
If you put the three of us in that situation, I guarantee at least one of us would be like, fuck that, we need to leave, this is weird. We need
to go, yeah.
Gotta get out of here.
But yeah, and I don't know, I just like, and Jessica Biel as a character, I mean, I just generally like her as an actress anyway, even though I don't think she's a great actress. I enjoy watching her movies, but except...
Sure you do.
Chuck and Larry, I turn that off. But her character, as far as, like, for me, I really like horror icons that are, like, female, like leading female characters in horror movies. And she's one of the awesomest, because, if you disagree, you can say, why.
My cockeyed look didn't come across in the audio, but I definitely shot Matthew like a dirty look. I don't know, like.
Feel free to disagree with me, but, she makes every single decision that I would have made in her circumstance.
It is worth noting, and we have come this far without actually mentioning, but these movies all have a woman surviving.
That's true.
There, it's always the woman who gets out.
Well, that's, honestly, that's pretty standard fare for most, like, horror slasher movies. I mean, Friday the 13th is like that, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street's like that. Like, there are...
I guess so.
Most horror movies have, like, lead female that kind of makes it to the end, and she either dies or doesn't die.
To be fair, I've not watched all the Friday the 13th or the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, so I...
Gotcha. Yeah,
but, I mean, okay.
Nightmare on Elm Street is a franchise that's more male-centered.
I see what you're saying, Matthew, that the appeal is that she's making decisions that you...
She's the opposite of the dumb blonde that runs up the stairs.
I'm not quite ready.
Well, she does some work.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not ready to throw her in the likes of, like, Ripley or, you know, like, Jamie Lee Curtis from Halloween or something. Like, I don't think she's quite on that level, she's fine.
Which I would agree. And the reason I would agree on that is because, just as a character, she's not written particularly interesting. Like, you know, like, there's... Ripley is this great iconic, like, visual, you know, like, she's a great character, like, in her backstory and everything. You have nothing to work on with Jessica Biel's character other than she's just a girl in a shitty situation.
Right.
But, like, as far as, like, I've never once in both times I watched this movie... In any decision she made, go, why would you do that? I always think, yep, that's what I would have done.
Right.
And, you know, but she's fucked over anyway. Like, and that's cool. Like, because, like, there's so many horror movies where the girl is the dumb one, or the one that, like, does something really stupid to piss you off, or falls over a tree branch in the woods that doesn't exist. But she's athletic. She doesn't fuck around. She'll kick somebody's ass if she has to get out. You know, she's, like, dealing with the situation.
Right. Yeah, there's to back you up, there's a moment where there's a guy with no legs and she's trying to help him get up off the toilet.
Yes.
And then, like, her boyfriend is in another part of the house and, like, Leatherface, like, you know, kills her boyfriend in the smack you in the head, like, kind of way from the first movie. And she hears it and immediately drops the guy and is like, what's that? I'm going to go check it out. And like, doesn't care anymore.
Which is an awesome moment, because in any other movie, a female character would still be written as, like, oh, let me finish helping this old guy. And then maybe I'll leave. She was like, immediately, like, something is not right.
Like, fuck this.
Yeah, fuck you, old man. Deal with your shit. I'm out of here. Like, that's an awesome situation. Well, at least for me.
Sure. There's a cool part that I actually enjoyed. I think it's later when she finds her boyfriend's body, and she discovers like an engagement ring in it.
Oh yeah.
There was this kind of sort of haunting like sorrow in that that like, because obviously that's not anything that's in the original at all.
Yeah.
And it never crossed my mind as a possibility. And then all of a sudden, like, he's dead and she finds this ring. And it's this tragic moment where it's like, oh, he was loved her enough to want to marry her. But, like, she's already dead.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually, that leads into what I wanted to get into, which is actually, I think, outside of the first movie, my favorite Leatherface moment is in this movie. And it's when she...
Is it with the boyfriend's,
when she, like, first sees or? Leatherface and he's wearing her boyfriend's face and, like, gives her this, like, really haunting look where you can see, like, these intense eyes behind it. But the face looks, like, misshapen and, like, sad.
Yeah, that was kind of fucked up because it's a shot where it's recognizably that actor's
face. Yeah, it's CGI, and they did it to try and make it make sure. Like, they did it CGI just to make sure that they would be able to like have it look like his face.
Right.
But, I mean, it's a really cool concept and shot that they have not done, and it was like really horrifying.
It's
like,
amazing it took six movies to get that type of reveal.
Right, Leatherface would take your friend's own face and,
she did not know that he was dead up until that point. So, like, suddenly she's seeing her boyfriend's face on this killer.
Yeah,
and like, that's such a crazy moment to have.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the fact that she's acknowledging the death by seeing, you know, because like in other movies, people have seen other faces on Leatherface, but it's never as the reveal to that character, the result of a loved one. Like, you know what I mean? It's like she's the reveal of her boyfriend's face is the acknowledgement that he's dead, and that's like that was just a great scene.
Yeah, it's strange though because this movie, like, we're talking about all these cool moments and. I really regret that this film didn't go further with the stuff I liked about it. Because honestly, the reason I come out sort of lukewarm and not really that big a fan of it is for everything good they do, it gets balanced out with something that I really dislike.
Yeah.
What were some of the things that you didn't
well,
like?
Well, the number one stupidest decision in the entire movie is when they show Leatherface take his mask off.
Okay, that's
and
true.
He looks like fucking Voldemort.
Yeah.
That is the dumbest thing in the movie, and I don't know why they decided to do that. I guess they thought it... Because they kind of throw in this plot of like, he's a freak, and all the kids used to make fun of him, and they're
and
trying
like
to...
self-mutilation.
Yeah, and they're like motivating why he's a nut and stuff, and like
inappropriate.
This is why he puts faces on, because his face is so fucked up. Like, I hated that.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'll be on board bad. With you.
And then there's just sort of generally, I mean, I got used to it after a while, but just sort of the style of the film, I don't particularly think is a good choice for the subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's just the very like matrixed out, slick
color
look
correction
of it.
Up the ass.
Yeah, it seems like an odd choice for this sort of grisly murder movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I got used to it. Although I literally laughed every time they cut to the exterior of the house and just the light of God is coming from behind it. In the dead of night, I just thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was more like Evil Dead than it was.
There's like some sort of crazy dig site or like Thor's hammer fell behind the house or something.
Right, totally. Yeah, it was like supernatural.
Yeah,
just very strange. And then just in general, there was a lot of kind of clumsy, goofy boo scare stuff that just...
Yeah, a couple audio stings.
It's, I guess it's a much more traditional horror movie.
Yeah, you get the possum in the box.
Like,
of
what's
cat in the
to
box.
Me, what's sweet about the original Texas Chainsaw is it doesn't fuck around with dumb, like, boo scary, like, crappy horror movie cliches. Mm-hmm. It's just really raw and fucked up.
Yeah.
And this movie is way more kind of cliche with the, like, oh, you see a shadowy figure walk by or a possum pops out of a locker or boo. Like, just kind of dumb shit. But it's okay. Like, none of these things as a whole make it like a terrible film.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, they just sort of take away from the stuff I was really enjoying.
It just keeps
about
it from becoming like a great movie.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
Which is, and what, like, speaking to what we were talking about before as far as like remakes and stuff, which is, to me, what this movie does, it has some really great things about it. Like we said, there's a lot of moments. It has one of your favorite Leatherface moments, Josh, like the reveal of the boyfriend's face. It has all of these things that I think are really great.
The when the leg gets chopped off, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, through the blankets or whatever, through the sheets.
I remember, because we've been watching movies all day, when he chainsaws the dude's leg off and then the blood hits the things, I was audibly like, oh, shit. Like,
that guy keeps getting it bad, because he gets hooked, like the woman in the first movie, and then they repeatedly try and take him off the hook, and then he keeps falling back onto it.
And then she has to kill
it.
Him, right?
Like, she stabs him, and he's like, just fucking kill me.
Yeah. Which, for me, is like, like you said, the original movie is so beyond what other horror movies were at the time. It's been mimicked, but it's never been done as good.
Sure.
But every sequel we watched in this marathon, to me, in the same way, is just a more traditional horror movie with nothing good about it. Like 2 through 5 were just traditional boo scare horror movies with nothing good. And then you get to this movie, and it has a lot of great things within the traditional horror.
This one is the 5th.
I mean, 2 through 4.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like 2, 3, and 4 are just like the same thing you'd see in any other horror movie, but crappy. And then this movie comes along, and it's like, yeah, it's a traditional horror movie, but it does some awesome things. So I sort of, it's weird. In the context of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, sort of uninteresting, but in the context of just horror movies in general, a good movie.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And I'm, you know, I'm sitting here kind of knocking bits of it. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a worse film than some of the previous films. Like, I think as a just movie, it's better than the second and third and fourth movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. I actually like maybe like 2 and 4 better, just because I think those are more in line with the spirit of Texas Chainsaw, like as a movie. But yeah, no. It's a better film, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I do have to give credit to, I just like the Leatherface in this movie. Other than the stupid, like, no mask reveal of him being mutilated underneath.
He's okay.
I do like this one.
This is the first movie, I think, that really addresses him, or treats him as a monster. Like,
yeah.
Because in the first movie, he's kind of monstery, but like he's a guy and he's just a crazy guy.
Sure.
And all the other movies kind of do that too, where he's kind of just the big imposing kind of crazy guy. This movie, he's like almost every time he's on scene, like they kind of put like a roar in or something. Like he is like,
well, he looks like a pro wrestler or something.
Yeah, yeah. He's huge and scary looking. Yeah. Like he's terrifying in this movie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like in imagery.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, they added this bit about Leatherface had like peepholes in the walls. That was like a kind of new element.
Yeah, yeah.
That was sort of interesting. They didn't really do much with it. Like, I don't know really why it was added, but it was kind of interesting.
I think they just added it just to drop okay, so nothing's happening right now, but look who's watching.
Yeah.
Like, just to kind of like give you like that, it's coming.
And there was another interesting element of the family that, I mean, I don't know if it's even good per se, but that there's a little boy who is sort of like, he's part of the family, but he also understands that there's something not right.
Right, because he ends up helping him out, right?
He helps them out a little bit, and it's a weird dynamic, but it was sort of an interesting change.
Well, they seem to have this aspect to the remake world where they're like kidnapping children.
Yeah, there's a woman who has a kid that wasn't hers.
I sort of got this sort of implied impression that the way this family kind of propagates is they just sort of snab kids. And now I think
there's a degree of also inbreeding, because the kid who helps them out is like, he's made to look inbred.
Yeah.
I also will say I was rather shocked in the finale of the film when Jessica Biel took a hatchet and cut Leatherface's
arm off.
That was
awesome.
Again, fucking great.
That was pretty surprising.
Yeah.
Because you think of these guys as like invulnerable murderers, and oh, there's going to be a million movies, and that happened. I was just like, whoa, I've never seen anyone get Leatherface that good.
Yeah. Which, like, again, another reason why she's an awesome like horror icon to me. It's like, she fucking took on Leatherface and hacked his arm off.
Aside from Dennis Hopper, ranking with Dennis Hopper is pretty respectable.
That's true. I guess he did get him pretty good in that.
Yeah.
But that's a powerful image, just like armless Leatherface. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
But didn't stop him from trying to get one last chainsaw kill in.
but then when we get to the end of the movie, Jessica Biel does what I think any of us, which we actually talked about in other movies in this franchise, which is you're in a position of power. You can take out the person after you. Why don't you finish the fucking job? And she runs over him 3 times.
Not Leatherface.
Yeah, Arlie Ermy. She finally has the chance, and she runs over him 3 times. That's fucking great.
Yeah, it's pretty satisfying to just watch her. I love those moments, because there's a couple movies that do this, but where she pulls forward and runs him over, and you're like, yeah, and then she stops, and you just see her go reverse, and you just go, yeah,
and then puts it back into drive and hits him a third time. How many times have you watched a horror movie where like the lead actor or actress hits the bad guy over the head once with like a hammer, and they pass out, and then they run away?
Yeah.
It's like, no, you finish the job.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
So great.
I'd say for all the hype of me, like a decade of me like talking mad shit about it and wanting nothing to do with it, like I came out of it being like, oh, that wasn't that bad. Like I wouldn't say I came around to loving it myself or being a huge fan of it, but I came around to understanding why some people like it.
Mm-hmm. If you remove the sequel stigma and it was just another part in the series.
I can't do it. It's impossible.
You can't put yourself in the headspace.
It's branded on my heart. I just can't.
Okay.
All right. Well, the next movie was the prequel to the remake, which was Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning.
Sort of a movie not about Leatherface.
It's more about Arlie Ermey's character.
Yeah, it's about the family, really, more than
it explains everything.
It's sort of about like an hour and a half I'd like to get back from my life.
Yeah, it's pretty boring. Watched
it. Not the worst movie that we watched yesterday, but it was certainly not in the accolades of the best.
Well, this is definitely a case of like, if you're gonna be movie six in the marathon, like, it better bring it, because if you're just gonna be sort of a lukewarm, not even as good as the last one we watched, I just had no patience to watch
it.
So
political though, John. It's all about draft dodging and, you know.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, so obviously, I guess because they, you know, hacked Leatherface's arm off and killed Arlie, they decided they had to go prequel with this one.
Yeah.
And that was, that's another thing I didn't really like about it. I always hate these things where they're like, let's go back and find out, like, why he does this. And like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, no one cares.
And the excuse they came up with was kind of dumb. It was basically like, oh, this family was crazy, and then he started killing people. Like, they didn't even, like, give a good reason.
Yeah, but, I mean, they did go a little bit more into it, which it still didn't make it any better, but they said, like, the reason that he decided that he was going to be a cannibal is because he was in the Korean War as a POW.
Right.
And they had to, like, every couple weeks, they'd have to just basically go, like, all right, one of us is going to get eaten. And then he decided to take that home with him.
Yeah, he gets the hunger. He can't stop.
Talk to family.
Human meat. That's the only thing that tastes good anymore.
It sure as shit didn't help that Leatherface took a straw with a chainsaw out of the film and, like, wasn't in an hour of the movie.
Yeah, he's just not a part of
the movie. He's hardly in the movie until maybe, like, the last third of it.
Yeah.
Which I found just because
he's
so
a teenager
dull.
At this point, right? Or something like getting
well,
a
well, he looks
job.
Like a 30-year-old, you know, bouncer.
Yeah.
So.
I mean,
he looks like he always does in terms of age. But he's apparently younger.
Yeah, and he's just he's like getting a job at the meat market, his first job, and he gets fired and he's upset, so he kills his boss. Like,
the whole town
stupid.
Is closing.
Right.
And so, like, that's part of the reason why they turn to cannibalism is because they have no jobs, and so they have to, like, find some way to feed themselves, and so they end up killing people and eating them. And
well, it's almost like if you go prequel, usually you have some legacy of, like, several movies to kind of draw from and be like, okay, we're going to see how this all began. But when it's just a prequel to a one-off movie that's a remake of a different movie, it's kind of ridiculous.
It's pretty stupid.
Yeah. I don't quite know why. I mean, I get why. Like, to me, I'd almost rather than make a sequel and, like, fuck it. Like, let's just have Leatherface with one arm or a robot arm or just do something nuts.
Yeah. Go Jason X with it or something. Yeah.
That's such a great example of just taking it to a weird, awesome spot.
Exactly. So, I don't know why they made that decision.
One thing I didn't like about this movie, and it had nothing to do with the story or anything, it was just aesthetically, it was a fun scene, is one of the kids shoots the guy who has no legs, who has legs in this movie, in the leg.
Right.
And then Arlie Ermey's character basically says, okay, well, that's going to get infected. Why don't you fire up that chainsaw and just take that leg off?
Yeah, because it won't get infected.
Yeah,
probably saw it off.
And so then Leatherface...
He's like, even an hour.
Yeah, Leatherface cuts the leg off, but also accidentally cuts the other leg too. And then Arlie Ermey's like, well, that's going to get infected too. You better even him out.
Which I agree. Someone said during the marathon that, like, it would have been funnier if he told Leatherface to take off the leg and Leatherface accidentally cuts the wrong one off first. Which is, like, way funnier than, oh, let's just, you take the other one off out of good, you know, like, symmetry or something. Like, I don't know, it's just weird, but yeah, this movie just brings nothing to the table. It's just nothing.
Well, I think clearly it was just like a cash grab.
Yeah,
like, they're like, oh, we're this is a hot new commodity.
How
let's
dare
make a
you
prequel.
Insult this art house film.
It's a new beginning, John. It's refreshing.
Witness, the beginning.
Witness the birth of fear. That's the tagline.
Yeah,
because the first thing, actually, it's worth noting, I guess, the first thing that happens is there's a pregnant woman working in a slaughterhouse, and then she breaks her water and squeezes out this kid and then dies. and the other face gets thrown out into the trash. And then one of the creepy ladies from the family in the previous movie finds him and decides to raise him as her own.
Yeah, and they also have like an origin for Arlie Ermey being the sheriff, where he just sort of kills the other sheriff and just kind of takes over.
Because that'll never be investigated.
Yeah, I don't know how that went uninvestigated for so long.
Yeah, well, they had that one offline where he's like, oh, this guy is the entire police department or something like that. Apparently without a wife or child. Yeah. That are
or any other any associates in other towns.
Yeah, no one reports to anyone, apparently.
Yeah, and there's an aspect of there's like a biker gang and there's a whole biker war going on. But they could have done so much more with that, I feel like.
There was a good moment with one of the biker characters, though, where Arlie Ermey first shows
up. That's true.
Because one of the biker ladies who passes him and like kind of gives him this weird like you know gesture then comes back and tries to rob them, and they get into a car accident. And then Arlie Ermey shows up, and she tries to take command of the situation. She has a gun, and she just kind of steps out and goes, "Well, I'm glad you're here, officer." And he goes, "I bet you are." And then just shoots her, and just kills her. It's awesome.
He probably got the best reaction out of me because I was laughing pretty loud. But I was fishing for anything at that point. But
it was bottom of the barrel.
But it was
time.
Funny. It's always funny when they catch you off guard. Like, you think the whole scene's going to play out, and it just smokes her in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Pretty funny. But yeah, honestly, I don't even know how much I even have to
say about it.
Like, it's such a just kind of nothing. Like, I wouldn't even really recommend anybody ever watch it.
No.
I'm just trying to find the good things. It is, let me just say, it is not a good movie.
Panning for gold. Like.
But it did have a good, it had Leatherface's first chainsaw kill, which was a cool kill.
Is that when the guy's lying on it and he revs it up? And
the biker girl's boyfriend comes and tries to kill the family, basically, out of revenge. And ends up falling on top of the chainsaw, and then Arlie Ermey tells Leatherface to rev it up. So he revs it up and then basically lifts the chainsaw through him, which was kind of cool.
Right. I remember thinking, like, wow, this family really escalated quickly.
Yeah.
Like, they just went from kind of kooky loners to just outright cannibal murderers.
Yeah.
Pretty fast.
It's so stupid. It's like justifying and giving us history to things you never wanted to know.
Yeah,
like,
totally. Yeah, because to me, creepy guy without legs is way creepier with just no explanation of why he's legless.
Yeah.
Like, he's just creepy legless guy.
Yeah.
But and that's the problem with prequels. You're watching him like, well, okay, I know he's going to lose his legs. And the whole time you're sitting there like, all right, when's it going to happen? Like, what? It kind of takes the surprise out of it if you just literally know what's going to happen.
Yeah, they could have come up with something so much scarier, like I don't know, like he ate his own legs. I don't know.
Yeah, like no people rolled through the town for a while, so they had to sluice the legs off of old Jim Bob.
That'd have been kind of fucked up. Like, oh, we need dinner tonight. No.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, but they just, I don't know, whatever. This movie's awful.
Yeah, it was nearly Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the end.
Yeah.
Because it stopped that series real fast.
Well, thank God for whoever directed the next movie, because he knew this franchise needed a new direction.
You want to just get into it?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, man.
You guys done with the beginning?
Yeah.
What a godsend this movie ended up being.
Yeah, so the final film of the Texas Chainsaw Marathon was Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Yeah.
Which is a direct sequel to the original.
So literally, which I was shocked by. It literally takes up place like moments after the first movie.
Yeah.
I was a little concerned initially because it looked as if they were going, it takes up, like you said, just after the first movie, and there's like four times as many family members there.
I kind of want to, before we delve in, I want to preface for people listening to this that are fans of Texas Chainsaw that have not gone and seen the new movie and are listening to this, just hit pause. I'm telling you, before we ruin everything, because we're going to talk about everything in this movie, just go see it.
Yeah, do yourself a favor. Yeah. Pay the $15 and just drive to the theater.
It's
now.
Not the horror classic that the first one is, but for a good time, you will not be disappointed.
Bring your friends who also enjoy awesome horror, and then pay no heed to Rotten Tomatoes or anybody telling you that it's not a good movie, because it's awesome.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Okay, now you're back from the theater.
How good was that? Ryan's great, right?
Kill it, right? Do we even need to say anything? No, it's... I was fucking shocked. Yeah. Like, that I not only enjoyed it, but just, like, really enjoyed it. Yeah. Like, yeah. I was not in any way expecting to walk out of that theater, like... high as a kite.
We're seven
like
movies deep on Texas Chainsaw,
which is so repetitive.
It is the most repetitive formula ever.
It's
amazing.
Shock. Yeah, but it's great for like all the right reasons.
Yeah,
because it's super like tongue in cheek, really, mm-hmm. but it's like really funny.
Yeah,
it very flies in the face of logic, but like in a we know we don't care, just sit down and watch this way.
Yeah,
it's just paced really well and really funny, and
they give specific dates. Like,
oh, well, yeah. that's one of the big hole in the movie.
Let's dive into how this movie starts. Yeah. Let's lay this out.
It takes place 5 minutes after the original movie, and suddenly there's like four times as many family members, and the sheriff and all the police have caught wind of what's happened because of the survivor.
I should mention that the opening credits showing all the footage from the original movie like really went a long way to get me kind of on board with the film.
Sure.
Because as like a huge fan of that, I was sitting there like, oh, wow, okay. Like, we're going to really pay homage to the original movie. It like, I don't know. It put me in this headspace where as soon as it started, like, I was like, I might be kind of into this. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
That I just like that about it, that it really caters to like fans of the first movie.
Yeah, it tries to set the tone, right? But so there's a bunch of people, and like, I guess...
the extended Sawyer family.
Yeah, they had to flesh the Sawyers out for what they wanted to do with this movie, which is fine.
Yeah.
Because I'm all on board.
Right, because at first the whole family feud thing, you're sitting there like, where the fuck is this coming from? But like as the plot of the movie unfolds, it's like you kind of understand why they went there.
Yeah.
But yeah, every Sawyer in 12 counties shows up with a shotgun.
Yeah.
And there's a big standoff with them and some other family of town members.
It's like the angry mob who
like
collected.
Like Frankenstein's monster mob.
Exactly. The town caught wind that the Sawyer family finally went too far. Because apparently all the fucked up shit they were doing before wasn't enough. But now they've gone too far and it's time to take back the town. And so the lead mob guy who ends up being the mayor in like present day.
Was he mayor or sheriff?
No, he was mayor. There's a mayor and a sheriff.
The sheriff is the black guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the lead mob, angry mob person, like who ends up being mayor, he basically takes control of the situation, usurps the the police department and says like, no, this is my town, I guess, and decides to burn.
It's like vigilante justice.
Vigilante justice took over the actual law enforcement.
And they shoot everybody.
Yeah,
they just burn the place.
Molotov cocktails.
Yeah, they just mow down the Sawyer family.
And what's funny is the movie's trying to paint it as like the sheriff is like, no, what are you doing? And this is a tragedy. But like, if you know anything about Texas Chainsaw, I'm sitting there like, yeah, you know, go at it, burn these pieces.
Take the
of
law
shit.
Into your hands and murder these motherfuckers. Yeah.
They kind of weren't halfway, you know, wrong for doing this shit.
Well, actually, it was weird because they try real hard to try and start gearing you on Team Leatherface, which is you end up being on Team Leatherface. Spoiler alert! But like, they try and start like change the gears and kind of get you rooting for the opposite team. And the way they do it is like everybody's doing things that you up until now would have been like absolutely yes, kill these people. And then they kind of throw in this last thing where the guy who becomes the mayor just goes, you can't get around the good book. puts this like yokel, like backwoods Christian spin on it, which makes you go like, wait a second. Wait, are these people assholes?
Well, and it really helps that you have this sort of like nice black sheriff being like, come on guys, like we gotta, and then just all these white pieces of shit just like, and you're kind of like, all right,
well,
these guys kind of suck.
The
like,
nice quote unquote black sheriff who bears witness
Mr.
to a,
do nothing.
Yeah,
he does. He lets everything slip.
He bears witness to a mass murder.
Yeah,
and just is like okay with it. Like sweeps it under the table.
What's also weird about the there? As much as I love this movie, there are so many weird plot holes that just go unexplained. Like they talk about this crazy murder as if it's like the town's dark secret that no one must know about. Yet it's like on page one of the paper.
Yeah.
Guy holding a leg. Like clearly,
the
it's,
lynch mob,
I think it's like, known that these guys did this.
They have
all
quotes of people that were like nobody was even around to like say these things.
The I'm headline like, of the picture like, is heroes! Exclamation point. Right. Heroes.
So there's that, and not only that. that. But this plot involves, like, there's a baby that gets found by some of the vigilantes.
In 1973.
That they escape with. And so the plot of the movie is, like, one of these Sawyers is a baby that gets away. And then cut to modern day, and she's now, like, a young woman who's going to get an inheritance from her grandmother. The problem being that, and they show times in both timelines, yeah. So that this 1973 Sawyer massacre happens,
yeah.
And later on in the movie, it's now 2013,
yeah.
And this baby's grown up. She should be 40 years old.
Yeah.
But it's this, like, 19-year-old
like
hottie.
College student.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, and it, they're with literally no explanation.
Yeah.
But just fucking roll with it. Who cares?
Who gives a shit? That, I think, was the motto of this movie while,
like,
making
whatever,
it.
Like,
whatever.
But I was kind of fine with it. I was like, yeah, whatever.
It doesn't matter.
But she, with her sort of college, it becomes, and this is when it comes kind of like a pretty standard horror movie. Like, she has this inheritance, goes with these friends, and goes, and it's like her grandmother's house. Which, by the way, I didn't even realize when we were watching it, but the woman from the first Texas Chainsaw movie plays her grandmother.
Oh, yeah?
In this movie. Her? Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So she's in the footage, obviously, at the beginning. And then she's also the grandmother that has sort of a monologue at the end.
Okay.
And she hadn't been in movies in, like, years.
Gotcha.
And so I thought that was kind of cool. But, like, what I oddly liked about it, I was not expecting this at all. It has this, like, mystery element.
Yeah.
Of this history that she doesn't know. And she's, like, looking at files and stuff. Like, I was not ready for, like, some mystery to be in the movie.
They really did something different with this, which is great. And I'm so thankful for it. It was just so refreshing to have a new reason to get into these characters.
Yeah. And you know, like, you know the house is bad and you know Leatherface is involved. But I was honestly sitting there like, how? Like, the house seems nice. Like, it's not a crazy place. Like, what, how are they getting Leatherface in this?
Yeah, and that's then, true, because, like, all the houses up until now have had, like, bones strewn around and just, like, crazy things. And this one, they walk in and, like, china is out and, like, everything is dusted and looks nice and there's, like, pictures being framed in the wall without bones, like, just totally normal stuff.
And then the way they sort of get Leatherface into it is, one, they pitch, that's another way that there's a lot of, like, against expectation stuff in this movie, which is really cool. Like, they pick up a hitchhiker on the way, and everybody in the theater who's, like, ever seen a Texas Chainsaw, sitting there like, oh, picking up the hitchhiker, like, here we go. I was ready for him to be a family member, you know, whatever. He ends up, like, they go to get supplies or something because they found this sweet mansion, and he stays back to rob the place, and they have this whole plot point of a ring of keys, and there's this one ridiculous, like, straight out of Mist giant key that and then that's when I finally put it together. Like, he's going around the house robbing stuff and he's like, where's the door to this key? And then you realize, like, oh shit, like, Leatherface is behind this locked up door,
which you would have known about if you had read the letter. Which I love. It's like, you this girl who apparently is 20 going on 40, like, college student, inherits a mansion and an estate.
I think it's 40 going on 20.
Yeah, apparently. 40 going on 20. But inherits a mansion and an estate. And the lawyer who is in charge of governing this estate fails to mention to this girl that there's a psycho killer literally locked in the basement.
Well, he does say, I mean, he should just have said it, but he hands her all the information and then the letter and says, read the letter. And she goes, yeah, okay, I got it. And he goes, but really read the letter. And she's like, yeah, I will. And he goes, but read it right now.
The telltale moment he really should have come out with it was, they're like, oh, you want to come in for some tea and stuff? And rather than being like, no, I don't want to come in because there's a murderer in there, he's just like, I got another thing.
Yeah, I gotta go see some people in 20 minutes.
I gotta go. They also get the guy. It's that guy from, like, Office Space.
Yeah, the jump to conclusions, Matt.
Yeah,
guy.
Jump to conclusions. Like, he's a character actor that's been a lot of stuff, but I just laughed the second he got out because it was just a funny, like, Kaz. But I actually thought the scene where the guy stumbles upon, it's a cool, like, when he finds Leatherface.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you finally realize, like, oh, shit, like, Leatherface is behind there. But the guy doesn't know it.
Yeah.
And this is a really cool tension scene where he's opening the door and coming in. You're just like, oh, here we go.
You see the big metal door.
And I got to say, there's, like, the first time Leatherface jumps out of this
guy. It scared me.
I fucking jumped.
Yeah, the audience, like, screamed at it.
We've been watching Texas Chainsaw for hours and hours all day. It legit kind of scared me.
Yeah, like,
Was it the first time?
Yeah.
It's, because he opens a door and it's just this dark-ass hallway. And you're sitting there looking at it. And then, whoop, like, out of the darkness, Leatherface just jumps out.
Real quick, I think I have to correct you. The first kill, he's trying to open the door. He can't do it. Starts, like, walks back out of the room and then, like, stops, turns around, and then Leatherface is there and has opened the door and kills him. The second time somebody goes down, the guy who's cooking dinner, he's like, oh, wait, what's this door? And he goes down.
You're,
and the door's open, and then, like, there's the hallway, and he's going down. And that is the part where everybody jumps. Like, because he, it's a dark hallway, and he's walking down, and it's really suspenseful, and all of a sudden, like,
Out of nowhere,
and like just goes and gets him, and it's like this real awesome moment.
You're absolutely right. I mixed the two in my mind. It was the cooking guy that I'm talking about with that. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it was a good scare because like, I don't know, I somehow got lulled into like just not being very ready for it.
It got me. And I love the way they made Leatherface look. Like, he's this fucking, like, crazy grandpa. Like, he has white hair.
Yeah, he should be in his 70s or 80s in this movie.
They really gave him this kind of interesting... Like, he looked like Birdman of Alcatraz with a weird mask on because he's been locked up for so long. And I don't know. I just really like that aspect of it. And to me, when the movie went from like, oh, I think I'm kind of digging this, to like straight up I was a fan, is the scene where the like deputy guy shows up and is like investigating the house.
Well, he's FaceTiming everything.
Yeah, they have this crazy thing where he's in real time like broadcasting to the sheriff and the mayor on his iPhone. And he's so stupid. It's like, he's like, just looking for any excuse to use my gun, and it's like, copy that. And he thinks he's such a badass. And as he progresses through the house, he starts to like puss all that bravado just kind of goes away.
He's following a smear of blood that's gone from the road outside of the house all the way to the house, and then like through like trap doors and stuff.
Yeah.
And so like the further he gets down in the like Leatherface's lair, the more he's like, I don't know.
Starting to get a little nervous, you guys.
Oh, and even before that, I take that back. That scene was all amazing, but the moment I was into the movie was the kind of Leatherface gets out and he's chasing them in their car.
Yeah.
And they're running all around. And there's this really funny moment where like they're running from Leatherface in the car, and the guy's there with the two girls, and he sees a gate, and they're like, wait, you gotta open the gate. And he's like, fuck it, we ain't got time for no gate. And he floors it, and it just, like, hits the gate.
And it doesn't break.
And it fucks the car up, like, royally. So they, like, back it up, and the engine won't start.
And then Leatherface is just constantly running down the driveway.
And they're like,
him.
oh, shit. And then they finally get the car started, and the gate's open, and then they pull out. And I think it's either, like, the car stalls, or the guy's literally an idiot and just, like, stops.
It does not stall, because there's no restarting sound.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever dumb reason, this guy, like, takes a left and kind of stops. And
drives about 10 feet.
Yeah. Leatherface jacks up the tires with his chainsaw, and the guy like floors it and goes for it. And it's this really funny like wide shot of like Leatherface in the foreground.
And
then in the background, sort of out of focus, you see the car
like
going.
Road to Perdition style.
And it's got like sparks just flying from it. And everything.
You just see it flip like out and just rev
so
out.
So over the top. Like, it's amazing.
And the audience was laughing really loud. Like, we for a solid like minute, it got like a big
it was
laugh.
Really funny because like there's no reaction from Leatherface. It's just like, and flip. Just like I planned it.
So the amazing thing about that rookie guy scene is at this point Leatherface has killed everyone but our like main character
and her girlfriend.
He's killed everyone but the girl.
No, the girlfriend, you don't know what happened.
Yeah. Right, excuse me. You think she's dead or whatever. And then the guy comes down, and it's this great tension moment where he's sort of clearing out all the rooms. And they have really funny dialogue of him being like, man, lipstick? Like, what the fuck's up with this guy? Like, just funny shit of him, like, reacting. He's like, this is the most fucked up shit I've ever seen, man. I don't know. And the mayor keeps being like, nah, keep looking. And when it was a really funny gag because he opens the fridge, and if you're a Texas Chainsaw fan, you're sitting there like, oh, okay, I know this one. Like,
this is where the person pops out.
This person pops out. So he opens it, and the person scares him so bad, he like blows the girl's brains out.
And immediately the sheriff just goes, it's okay, the mayor says, didn't happen.
And that just shows, like, it was so written so funny.
Yeah.
Like, that's so funny. Like, making a gag out of that and him just shooting him and stuff. That just loved it.
Before that even happened, there was where Leatherface is chasing the main protagonist, the girl, and they go into the county fair.
Oh my god! That moment the where
he's just running through the carnival, and like people were just thinking he's some sort of gag or something.
That literally blew my mind because I've seen so many movies of Texas Chainsaw and Leatherface and him killing people. There was this, that moment where he ran out and it's just a crowd of people and Leatherface running around. I was sitting there like, how come no one has ever done this? This is so smart. Like just this moment you've never had. They had that really funny, it's like straight out of Universal, like Halloween Horror Nights, of like a guy in a saw outfit with a little tiny like chainsaw scaring people.
I want to play a game.
Yeah. And then Leatherface revs it up in front of him and he just like drops it and runs like a scaredy cat. Yeah, and her just hanging on to this like carousel,
which made me nervous.
Yeah,
that scene made me really nervous. Like just holding on to the outside of a carousel is like it freaked me out. But
yeah, especially because she had to come right back down. I thought at least she was gonna try and drop into the one underneath her that was empty.
Yeah, the bucket.
But she just stays hanging the whole time.
But just Leatherface running through a carnival, chainsaw revving with hundreds of people around. I was just sitting there like, holy shit, oh my god, like what's gonna happen?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
It's crazy.
And then there was a good moment where if you see it in 3D. It's actually
the only good 3D moment of the movie.
The cop says, you know, throw the chainsaw on the ground, and he chucks the chainsaw at the camera. But like at the cop, and it's a good moment. Of, like I saw you guys, like you guys all kind of went like, wah! And like jump.
Oh, I straight up went wow, like just like a goofball.
But it's also dude, like that scene is equal parts amazing and hilarious because it's like Leatherface is now in a gun showdown, which is like, again, we've really not dealt with that like on a real level. Like, he's like, I got a chainsaw. Oh shit, you have a gun. So Leatherface throws the chainsaw as a distraction. And then the next shot is him running into the
just
woods.
Just piecing out.
Yeah, just like dust trail. Like, it's amazing.
The best way I can describe the movie is like really dumb fun.
Yes. The best
like,
dumb
so
fun.
So not serious.
Was appropriate.
Like, fun. Yeah.
You won't outdo the first one.
Totally. I think that's what's so genius about it is they come into it being like, yeah, there's no way we're gonna like be on the same level as the first one. So the only trick they had was just to make it like a goofy comedy. But it's kind of like what they did with two. Like they go to two and be like, okay, let's make this a comedy, but this one is so much funnier than two.
Well, this one's funny because there's nobody going like really hamming it up for the camera. Everybody's playing it straight.
The also, circumstances are funny.
No family.
Yeah.
Which kind of worked really well.
Yeah. It was nice.
Like, it's just Leatherface. We don't have to see these bad knockoff impressions of the crazy family. Like, it's just, all that shit went away.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Like, it's finally, like, no dumb dinner scene, no knockoff trying to be what the old one was. It was just its own new thing. It's, to me, it's really the first one that was like, you know what, we're going to go, like, totally different direction.
Yeah.
And thank God they did.
Absolutely. And we haven't even really gotten into why this movie is as good as it is.
Well, I was like, saving the best for last. Yeah. Cause...
I mean, but I think we're pretty much there.
Go. Who wants the honors?
Go ahead, Matt.
Okay. So the movie so far has been giving us hints of like wanting to go to Team Leatherface. Like you're like, okay, like Leatherface is kind of awesome. Like let's give him a little sympathy. But in the apex of the movie, like the scene in any other horror movie where you have the chance to kill the villain and like we did it, dust our hands clean, you instantaneously have the main character decide to become evil. Like for no reason, literally no reason.
Well, there was a little bit like she gets to a look at the evidence box of what happened with the family and she sees that like they were all gunned down and like
because
all the town
they
here
were murderers.
Oh, but you know, come on. There were only
this is
there
what
her
I
murderers.
Love about the movie is it takes this sort of southern like it's my family. I got they're your blood. Like, I think they even say, like, blood's thicker than water. Yeah, you know, you got to stick your blood.
There ain't nothing thicker than family.
Yeah.
Or
and
blood.
That's kind of the Sawyer family's position is it's not so much that, I mean, obviously Leatherface murdered people and that's bad, but they're coming to the house with their guns, not to defend murderers, but to just defend, like, hey, this is our family. Like, leave them alone. Yeah. We'll take care of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they all get gunned down for sticking by this motto of family.
Yeah, yeah.
So the girl has learned this lesson through all this murdering of her family that's like, I'm a Sawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to my bones, I'm a Sawyer. So much so that she decides, as her grandmother did, I guess, that she needs to take care of Leatherface. But before she does that, I guess we'll let him go on a murder spree.
Well, what's really crazy about this is that as a 5-month-year-old child, you're taken away from this. You know nothing. You know nothing about the Sawyers. You know nothing about any of this. You get there, the first thing that happens to you is everyone you know and care about is murdered.
By your family member.
Yeah. And then somehow over the course of one afternoon, family becomes, becomes thicker than water. And you are now not just okay with protecting Leatherface.
She straight murders someone.
Because in the end, there's this whole showdown with Leatherface and the mayor, and then the sheriff is witnessing this whole thing. Like,
so basically, all the people that are still alive that killed her family originally have kind of re-banded together to try and kill Leatherface.
So there's this crazy thing where the guy's trying to kill Leatherface, and he turns on this like meat grinder thing, and he ties Leatherface to it, and it's slowly moving him in. And then the sheriff comes in and was winning all this. And then Heather, our main character, runs in and decides to save her brother or her cousin.
Pitchforks
a
guy.
Straight up murders a dude.
I guess that's just Sawyer genetics. Like, you can just murder people.
And then in what might be the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life, takes the chain, frees her brother, grabs a chainsaw, throws it at him, and then says, do your thing, cuz.
Do your thing, cuz.
Do your thing.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Not just do your thing, cousin. She goes straight down south, do your thing, cuz. Where on earth?
He proceeds to murder this guy.
What this guy was going to do to Leatherface basically just drops him into a meat grinder.
Which, in any other logical universe, you leave Leatherface chained up, getting dragged into the grinder, and you push the mayor into his arms. So they both get grinded up. But no, do your thing, cuz.
I'm not kidding. I laughed a lot in this movie. When she yelled, do your thing, cuz, I laughed. I was like a cackling banshee of laughter that came out of me.
It is one of my most favorite moments ever.
My head exploded. Yes. That was so funny.
It's the greatest.
Who wrote that?
Can we just go see this again right now? It's my favorite.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. And then as if that wasn't hilarious enough, the town lawman, the sheriff, is witnessing this murder.
Oh my God, yes, I forgot
about
this. And
he straight up is just like, I didn't see nothing here.
He says, clean up your damn mess.
Right? He just lets it slide. It's like, clean this up and leave.
Rename Sheriff Easygoing. What are you doing?
Another just logical leap of what? Are you kidding me? This guy would let them go?
Clean this mess up. What?
I guess the mayor was just enough of an asshole.
But the mayor died. Explain that. What happened to the mayor, Sheriff Sheriff Hooper, who's named after Toby Hooper.
Yes.
And I don't know. He's gone.
It's so amazing. It's
funny as shit.
Honestly, as much as I defended the remake, and I still do like it, and I would watch it again and enjoy it, the Texas Chainsaw franchise exists only in my mind as the original and this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Just 1 in 7, good to go.
I wholeheartedly agree.
It covers the entire gamut of everything I love about horror movies, good and bad. The first movie, classic, will never be touched. It's horrifying. It's genius. This movie, hilarious in the most genius, entertaining popcorn way.
Dumbass fun way.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's amazing.
I'm with you. I remember, because I finally saw the remakes, and I was like, I guess this is good. I can see why people like it. I'm not that big a fan, but I get it. And then I saw Texas Chainsaw 3D. It was like, fuck anything that came out of Texas Chainsaw. It can go to hell. It is totally this. And I think that's great in the movie, how they basically say, to hell with everything except the first one. Here we go.
Yeah.
And it's so silly. And then at the end, just all the scenes at the end, her reading her grandmother's note and giving him a little, he's a prisoner and she's giving him his food.
Sandwich and milk.
And now she's in the home. And
amongst, okay, that's another scene which killed us. Like, we were really laughing in the theater. And apparently, a couple rows behind us, they didn't find the movie as funny as we did, even though it's clearly retarded.
Right.
But the scene where...
yeah, we were getting some dirty looks for our, like, just cackling laughter.
Well, I will give them an equal dirty look for
not...
They
were chatting a lot, but we were polarized annoyingness in different ways.
Sure.
But the scene where she comes back after all has been said and done, and she murdered all these people, and so she's now a real Sawyer, and she comes home and Leatherface is just sitting in the kitchen, and the kitchen is painted with her friend's blood. Like, there's literally hands, like a fingers chopped off, sitting in next to the sink. She's amongst a horror show. Like, everyone she knows and cares about is smeared across the walls, and she comes in cool as a cucumber, takes a rag, wets it, and then proceeds to clean off Leatherface's old gunky face. Like this is a touching moment, like, or whatever. And apparently, I laughed. I couldn't help but laugh, because there's nothing more retarded than that.
Right after you laughed, a woman behind me was like, why is he laughing?
Yeah, he's like, shut up. And I'm like, really? Like, you're taking this seriously? Like, I could not believe it. Yeah. It's the best movie ever.
And I hope they're making another one, right?
Oh, already.
They're in pre-production.
I mean, I don't know where you go from here. I guess she's in the house.
Are you serious? Like, they're so. I mean, I don't know where they. I don't know where they will take it. Yeah. But where couldn't they take it from here?
I know, it's like a world of possibilities.
So now, do the movies just take place from here on out, like, from the perspective of Leatherface? And there's like, we joked. Yeah, the hero. Leatherface, the hero.
I'm gonna guess. Man, I really want to stay on Team Leatherface, but if I had to guess, I would say new team of kids, but now, like...
Daria, the lead actress,
is like the evil woman that, like, wants to kill these kids and is sending Leatherface after them.
Yeah.
I feel like she'll be the bad guy in the next
one. I feel like she should pit Leatherface against, like, the wrongs of the world.
You make like, Dexter him?
Like, there's a clan rally of a bunch of murderers, yeah. And then she, like...
Leatherface towards, like, good killing.
That would be good.
I want to keep, like, positive Leatherface.
I want to stay on Team Leatherface for sure. If they make him a bad guy again, I feel like it'll just be a waste of opportunity.
See, that's what I was joking earlier, that he's like Godzilla. Because I was in zero way expecting to come out of the movie being, like, rooting for Leatherface killing people. Like, no way. Well,
my fear, though, in this is, like, with any... Okay. We acknowledge that this movie is hilarious and entertaining and awesome in all the best ways, but this movie also clearly comes from a stock of, like, low budget, like, they threw this piece of shit together, like, real quick just to make a buck. My concern is that no one cares about this movie enough in reality to continue it in an awesome way. Like, I could see the next movie just being
cash grab,
just not even related to what we just saw. You know what I mean? They could just do a new Texas Chainsaw that isn't really a sequel to this.
I know. But this doesn't mean anything, especially in the Texas Chainsaw franchise thus far. But it is supposed to be a sequel to this movie.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Step Up franchise. It's like they could easily make those directly connected to each other. And almost every time the next one comes out, it's just another, like, shit, like, not related movie.
Well, what's crazy is after seeing this movie, it's like, open up the pearly gates and welcome to canon, as far as I'm concerned. Like, it's like, this is it. Yeah. And anything that does not follow this logic, I'll be sitting there like, well, it's a bunch of bullshit.
But next one that opens up, I will be there.
Oh, definitely.
And I will be midnight showing.
God, I couldn't believe how good it was.
It's just the best formula ever. Yeah. Like, what else? Like, I just wonder about that sometimes when you, like, when people make, like, genre movies like this, where the whole idea is just to make a bunch of money. Mm. It's like, just sit down before you write it and just make a list of things that people love, which is like this movie has all of it. It's hot chicks, like, sort of half naked, people getting killed.
Sure.
Hilariousness. Like, you know, just like, it's a perfect storm of entertainment.
Well, and just well done comedy.
Yeah,
that's funny. Was the shocker. Yeah. Was that it was well executed jokes and laughs.
It's really unfortunate that, like, nobody really gets this. Like, the critics on
Rotten Tomatoes give it 18%.
The users give it 49%. Yeah. So, I mean, like, half the people kind of got
it. Well, I think what Matthew mentioned earlier, I got to imagine the people that have not really watched Texas Chainsaw but are huge fans of the remakes would go to this and hate it.
Yeah.
Because it's in no way in the spirit of the remake.
I really don't know how you... Oh, fans of the remake. I'm just saying. I thought you said sequels.
Yeah, yeah. No, okay. I'm just saying, like, you have only ever seen the remake and maybe the beginning.
Yeah,
and
that
you
makes
go
sense.
See this movie.
This is a totally different movie.
I would walk out hating it if that was my only perspective, because it's like, this isn't what I know.
Yeah.
But if you've seen, like, a million of these movies and you love the first one and you're just kind of tired of it to go this complete 180 on it and just go this crazy new way to do it, I found awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Like I said, 1 in 7, that's the universe of Texas Chainsaw for me.
Thank you, Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for another fine marathon.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, we...
Well, it dipped a little in the middle, but...
It ended on such a high note. Oh, so good. Yeah, they rarely do.
It bookended so well. Yeah. Especially with it being directly related to the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy how... It's almost like after torturing and going through all those movies all day, you finally sat there and were like, oh, shit. Like, this is kind of got... I'm not going to say it has the spirit of the first one, but the fact that it paid it so much... homage and that it was so faithful to it.
You got
to
give
its own thing, but it also was, you know, faithful in its own way.
You got to give credit to a movie that's as dumb as this movie is and entertaining. That Stu was 100%.
That
on
is
board.
Actually true. That should like, be on a the poster for the
Stu Chait loves this movie.
Yeah, unfortunately he couldn't join us for this recording, but yeah, no, he did. He walked out just as smiling as us, which is like shocking.
Yeah,
and awesome,
amazing.
But that's what's great. I think. Because he appreciates good comedy.
Yeah.
Like, when it's really funny. Yeah. I think that's what it is. It's not like it's such a weird movie. It's not dumb and bad and funny because of how bad it is.
It's kind of smart.
Yeah, it's funny because of just how well made and intentionally funny it is.
Yeah.
That's what's really good about it.
I think there...
It's not without problems.
Yeah.
But.
I think it's a good split, a percentage split of like things they intentionally meant to be funny, like the girl popping out and the cop shooting the girl.
So
like
good.
Stuff that's really well timed versus like, I don't know if the escape from the gate was supposed to be as funny as it was, but it was.
No, that I think it was.
Oh, you think so?
The questionable thing is like, do you think, cuz? Like,
oh,
is that
yeah.
funny because it's ridiculous? Or is that
so. I think they knew what they were doing with cuz.
By the way, there's no way that wasn't supposed to be funny, the gate thing, because if it was supposed to be like legit, like they were really trying to like show it, like they would have had a shot of the actual van like flipping over and like done it. Played it up all
more
action-y,
intensely.
And it wouldn't have just held on Leatherface watching it happen because...
Well, I knew I was laughing in that scene because, like, well, first of all, I think them hitting the gate was supposed to be funny.
Sure,
I think, like, that
sure.
was definitely a joke. But then the fear of, like, them backing out and, like, just screeching out. What made me laugh then was the fact that why did he stop the car? Like to me, that there was a logic.
Just how was Leatherface going to get?
That's
you know,
true.
Shit
but see,
the
I think that's why this movie's weird, because it does have these weird moments of like, oh, that's just really shitty.
Right.
But then the next moment, you can tell they knew what they were doing and it was really great. So I don't know. It's a good dynamic.
You get the best of both worlds.
Best of both worlds.
Straight up.
Yeah. This might be the greatest movie ever.
Excellent. Well, we should talk a little bit about what we're going to do in the future. We honestly do not really know what we're going to do for February.
There's been some things tossed out there that I think are potentials.
It's going to be a couple months before we have anything that's actually locked in, like the way we plan on doing.
Yeah.
We're pretty open for that.
Well, yeah, because May is the big Star Trek month.
Yeah.
So mark your calendars.
Yeah.
Come May, it's Star Trek time.
Super epic.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah.
So before then, we don't really know what we're going to do, but if you're listening to this and you have any sort of idea of a marathon you'd like us to do, we are very open to listener suggestions. So feel free to drop us an email at cinemarathon@gmail.com with any suggestions, and we'll seriously listen to them. I think we're going to probably do our marathon kind of early in February, because I actually have my one-year anniversary is coming up towards the end of the month. So I'll be kind of busy.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. So get your suggestions in quick, because we'll probably come up with something pretty soon. But you can also suggest things to us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/cinemarathon. And you can also follow us on Twitter @cinemarathonpod. That's Cinemarathon Pod. And while we were watching the Texas Chainsaw movies, we live tweeted as we watch them. So there may be things there that, you know, we didn't necessarily talk about on this podcast. So feel free to like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, and you can get those feeds as they come. And whenever we do our next one, I usually update, you know, like what we're going to do, and you can follow along as we watch the movies. And finally, all of this information can be found on our website, which is cinemarathonpodcast.com. So thank you, gentlemen, for another excellent marathon.
Do your thing.
Clean your shit up.
Have a good one, guys.